sometimes you go to work and you feel like everybody's against me. No, just one person. But they said something real negative, real hurtful to you. And you know what? It makes you feel like everybody's against me.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, here with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church. Friends, as you're listening today, if your phone were to ring and somebody's face showed up on that phone, you would be excited or you would be discouraged, depending on who it was. And that's because some people are energizers and some people are drainers. Pastor Mark, that's what your message is about today.
That's right. Some of you look at who's calling your caller ID and click it off right away because you think, I can't handle this right now. That's happened, I think, to all of us because we know that certain people are going to be drainers instead of energizers. And I want to challenge our radio listeners today to remember, listen, God has called you, yeah, you, to be an encourager. And I know that we all need go through times where we need encouragement, but by and large, the attitude and disposition of our soul should be to be a person that looks to others around and says, how can I encourage? How can I lift them up? In fact, the attitude of Epaphroditus.
Yeah, and that flows right out of the passage before this, which talks about being a servant, not being self-seeking, not being all about yourself, but really to say, I'm here to serve. So if we're going to do that, then we need to see the people around us as part of our mission. And that's what you talk about in the two people in Paul's life in this passage, Timothy being one, Epaphroditus being the other. What was it about Epaphroditus, Pastor Mark, that made him this lifter and not a leaner?
You know, Paul was in a difficult point in life, but he talks about Epaphroditus as my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger. He speaks of someone that is going in with an attitude of, I'm here to serve you guys. I'm here to encourage you guys. And I'm wondering if some of our listeners today need to ask themselves, if you're going to school, if you're going to work, if you're going to work with some of your family, ask yourself, am I going with an attitude of encouragement? Who around me today needs to be encouraged?
We can be intentional to be a energizer and not a drainer. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. Let's get right into this message.
Sometimes one strong critical word against you can just really send you in a tailspin. And it takes about 9 encouraging words to kind of build you up. Could you relate to that? You know, sometimes you go to work and you feel like everybody's against me. No, just one person. But they said something real negative, real hurtful to you. And you know what? It makes you feel like everybody's against me. But it's the power of encouragement. And that's why I encourage you as parents, or if you're a teacher or just a friend, I want to encourage you to make sure that you have more affirming, positive words coming out of your mouth than negative words. In fact, maybe you need to tape record what it sounds like in your home. Because my gut feeling is that if we had tape recorders in our house, that maybe for every encouraging word that comes out, probably 9 critical words come in. How many times? Hey, you don't! Stop doing that! How many times have I told you? You're no good, you always lie! And if that's the environment in your home and it's negative and negative and critical and where's that, hey, you can do it. Hey, you did a good job. Let me see the picture that you did at school. Wow, look at this report card. How many of your kids hand you a report card and they all have A's, A's, and B's and there's one C minus and you spend 15 minutes talking about the C minus and barely ever focus on the A or the B. Wow, did it get quiet in here. Affirmation. We have a tendency to zone in on what's done wrong and harp on what's done wrong, and it pulls people down. Timothy was an energizer, an encourager that really cared. And notice what he says. It says in verse 21, leads to our third point, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. He was not seeking his own agenda, but Christ. Boy, these are sad words. Listen to this. For everyone, who, Paul? Everyone I mean, these sound like the words of a frustrated guy. Paul's looking around himself at this hard, tough time in life, and he says, you know, the only thing that I see around me is people that are looking out for themselves. It's hard for me to find people that really care about the cause of Christ. Sounds like everybody's just looking out for their own thing. Sounds like everybody just wants their deal. But Paul is saying, hey, who's looking out for Christ's kingdom? Who's looking out for the bigger thing? I mean, I'm finding it hard to find leaders, Paul is saying, that are not just looking out for themselves, but leaders that really care about Christ and the things of God. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Christ. He's saying, hey, I'm finding it hard to find people that care, that look bigger, that look beyond their needs. You see, energizers ask themselves, not what do I want just, but what does God want? What is God looking at? What is best for the kingdom? What is best for other people? Verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You see, D is that he has proven himself in service and loyalty. Let me tell you something about energizers. Energizers have a track record of loyalty and faithfulness. In others, people that have served, they have a track record. They have a history of service. Someone says, hey, pastor, I'm thinking about dating this guy. We're getting in a relationship. What is your words of advice? I would say, what's his track record? What's her track record? What do I mean by that? Is that, how long has this person been stable? You say, well, he's a real nice guy. I mean, he paid for my dinner. He's got great teeth. Okay, great. What about his track record? Well, he has been through about 7 girlfriends in the last 6 months. Hint, hint, is something wrong with that? Well, he's currently unemployed. Okay, well, how long has he been unemployed? Well, it's been about 5 years, but he's had really bad luck. Right? Is it telling you something? That he's quit 10 jobs in the last 5 years? I mean, what's his track record? Because chances are that we repeat our past unless there's something that alters our present so it can affect our future. Are you hearing me? Unless something happens, we tend to repeat our past. Unless God gets a hold of us, unless we're broken, unless we repent, unless we have a aha God encounter, we tend to continue to repeat our past. And you say, well, hey, he had a God encounter. Okay, great, I believe it. Now let's test it. Well, pastor, that's the way he was. He's lived that way for 20 years, but last week he got saved. Go, okay, good. Now let's test it. Well, pastor, don't you believe him? Oh, I believe it. But let's test it. Let's see if he still comes to church if you break up with him. Is he coming for the girl or is he coming for the God? Oh, that needs to go on a t-shirt somewhere. Oh, he comes every week, pastor. Oh, yeah? Ever since he met you, he comes every week. What if you're not there? Is he still coming? When you're out of town, is he still there? You see, there's got to be a proven track record. The Bible's all about that. Proven. What's your track record like? What is your history like? What is your spiritual history like? Paul says, hey, Timothy, he's proven himself. I mean, over and over, he's been in there. He's proven himself. He's been loyal. He has served even when it was tough to serve. I heard of a guy recently, talking about track record, I heard of a guy recently that was in a job interview. And he had just graduated from a technical college, and he was sitting down with the interview person. And so the interview person looked at him and said, now, what kind of salary are you looking for? And this young college graduate looked straight at the eyes of the interviewing person, and he said, well, I'm looking at the neighborhood of about $140,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. Well, the interviewer said, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement fund to 50% of your salary, a company car leased over 2 years, and let's make it a red Corvette? The young college graduate said, wow, are you kidding? Yeah, but you started it, she said. That's right. You know, a lot of us, hey, we haven't even been proven yet. We want to lead, or we want this, or we want that. Hey, what's your track record? Have you tested yourself in any way? Spiritually, have you proven yourself? What's your track record? What's your history? What's going on in your life? Paul says, this young guy, although he's young, he's proven. He's been in the battle. He's stuck in there. He's been tested. I know, I can verify the fact that he's been through some tough times. He deserves this. This guy, is his character and his calling have been tested and proven to be good. For he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And so he says, I hope therefore to send him as soon as I know how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come as well. Paul says, let me see how things turn out, but I want to send Timothy to you because he's an energizer. I send him your direction. You're going to be encouraged and lifted up because this kid has proven himself. And so we discover that an energizer doesn't have to have this awesome, outgoing, confident personality, but God can take people that simply say, I want to be used, and use them for his glory. I heard of a woman that was sitting in church one time, and she'd been attending church for a long time. And she always felt, I don't have anything to give. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a musical ability. Not really good at teaching. And she always felt like other people can do things, but I don't have much to give. But one Sunday after a message, she decided, I'm going to write an encouragement note to the pastor. So she did. And then she thought, you know what? That musician back there has been serving for a long time. And you know what? I'm going to send him an email and encourage him. So she did. And there was a Sunday school teacher that was teaching one of her grandkids and just faithfully doing it. And she said, I'm going to send a note or give a call. And by the time the 2 months was over, she had encouraged about 7 or 8 different people. And it seemed like the more she encouraged, the more encouraged she became. And finally it dawned on her, hey, I do have something to give. I do have something to give. It's called encouragement. And I want to say before we move on to Epaphroditus, I want to say this, that we have some people here that have served faithfully behind the scenes for a long time, hundreds of volunteers that do their work faithfully for God. Proven themselves year after year, doing work for the kingdom.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called The Difference Between People Who Energize and Drain, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is the radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Pastor Mark's message, the difference between people who energize and drain.
You know, we have intercessors that pray every Sunday. Diane helps lead that, and there's intercessors that pray. They're back here. My wife told me the other day, she was walking, and they were so loud, she almost had to say, shh, you guys are praying too loud. But, you know, they're passionate. We have people on the tech team behind the cameras and the soundboard, the graphics, PowerPoint, volunteers that are serving every week. We have people on the worship team that faithfully come out for practice and they serve and they practice and they work. We have people in the children's ministry. We have ushers and security and parking lot attendants that serve and resource center and greeters and welcomers and in the Spanish ministry, in the 9 o'clock service, people that set up chairs and people that input into the computers. We have people like Cynthia Aiden who has served as a volunteer every Wednesday for about 8 hours every Wednesday for, I don't know, probably 7, 8 years. I don't know. She comes to the 9 o'clock service. She's there serving faithfully. And I want to say, praise God for people like that. I want to ask you a question. Hey, what's your track record like? Have you rolled up your sleeves and found a place where you say, hey, I want to serve too. I want to be a part of this thing that God is doing at New Life Community Church, spreading the kingdom of God. And have I found my place to energize? Have I found my place to start serving? So why don't we give a hand to all those people that have been really faithful over the years, huh? And then Paul turns his attention not only to Timothy, but he turns his attention to the next fellow that he wants to use as an illustration, and his name is Epaphroditus. Now, how many of you before you read Philippians even knew that there was an Epaphroditus? And if I were to say to you, hey, tell me three things about this guy Epaphroditus, how many of you would be able to tell me something about him? You say, Epaphra who? I mean, is this guy really important? Hey, he's so important that the Apostle Paul includes 5 verses out of the New Testament dedicated to Epaphroditus. You say, well, is he really that important? Hey, everything in the Bible is important. Everything in Scripture is there for a reason. And God included the story of Epaphroditus in there so that we here in Chicago could be encouraged and blessed by this guy. You say, well, who was he? Well, let me tell you what he was. Energizers are lifters rather than leaners. They lift, they don't lean. Epaphroditus, this is the only place in all the Bible that he's mentioned. His name means charming. He was part of the church of Philippi and had brought an offering to help Paul out. In fact, he had gone. And I told you, remember, he had traveled 800 miles from the city of Philippi. They'd taken up an offering. He collected money. He was the guy carrying the money. He traveled through boats and walking and this and that and the other. 800 miles, got to Rome to look for this prisoner named Paul. Searched all over Rome, found him, and his job was, I'm here, Paul, to serve you and to help you. You say, well, hey, did Epaphroditus have a life? I'm sure he did. Maybe he had kids. Maybe he was married. I'm sure he had a job. He was a leader in the church, but he left it all. Traveled 6 weeks to find Paul. And when he found him, he said to Paul, Paul, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. What can I do, Paul, to encourage you? And talk about a heart. And you could tell that Paul was very grateful to Epaphroditus. Listen to what Paul says. It says, Paul says, I'm sending back to you Epaphroditus. Back to where? Back to Philippi. And he says, he's been my brother. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes here, probably if you don't know someone's name, you just say, hey, bro. Paul knew his name. He said, he's my brother. I mean, this guy and I are close. He's encouraged me and been beside me and prayed with me. I mean, this guy has served me. This guy is like family to me. And he's not only my brother, but he's a fellow worker. This guy's not a slacker. I mean, he didn't come here, bring the gift, and sit down and say, hey, I'm just going to hang out here. This guy is working. He served me and helped me and ministered to me. He's working hard. It says he's a fellow soldier. Now, this guy has fought the battle with me. How many of you know that when you do something good for God, there's going to be a battle? I was just talking to someone this past week that was really going through a hard time, and they had just started something new in ministry. And I said, hey, brother, remember, anytime you venture out to do something for God, there will be a battle. The only time there's not a battle is when you sit back in your lazy boy chair, have one more Dunkin' Donuts coffee with your changer, watching reruns of The Honeymooners. And you say, well, I'm not experiencing a battle. Exactly. Why? You're not doing anything. Hey, to be in a battle, you got to do something. Are you speaking? Are you helping? Are you working? Are you starting something? Are you affecting people? Because the enemy's going to leave you alone if you're not doing anything. Once you start doing something, you will experience spiritual attack and battles. It just comes with the territory. Of course, you're not going to experience a battle. The guys that are on the battlefront are the guys that are on the front lines of the battlefield, not the guys playing golf at home. It's the guys on the battlefield that are going to experience it. And so he says, he's my fellow soldier, who's also your messenger. The word messenger here is also the same word often used for apostle, one sent with a message. And he had brought them the gift whom you sent to take care of my needs. This church had given the gift of Epaphroditus to take care of the needs of Paul. And he says, verse 26, look at verse 26. He says, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. He was homesick, 800 miles away from home, far away from home, hadn't been there for a while. They had heard that he was sick, but they hadn't heard that he was doing well. So he was worried that they were worried about him. And so he says, hey, you heard that he was sick, but he's well. And I'm sending him back so you won't be distressed. This word distress means agonized. The same word that is used when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says he agonized. And he goes on to say, indeed he was ill and he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Now let's pause a moment. Who's talking? Paul. Do you know who Paul was? Paul was the guy that wrote a bunch of books in the New Testament. Paul was the guy that encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul was one of the guys that started more churches and expanded Christianity more than anybody else in the New Testament. Paul was so anointed by God that at one time his shadow would heal people. Paul's the guy that prayed for people and delivered them and prayed and they were healed. Paul is the one that spoke and thousands were converted. Paul was this incredible ambassador of Christ that wrote a lot of the New Testament. I mean, this mega man of God. This mega man of God is saying, I am so dependent on this guy called Epaphroditus. Because man, if he died, I'm not sure I could handle it. Sorrow upon sorrow. Why? Epaphroditus was an encourager. An energizer. So I never even heard of Epaphroditus. Exactly. He never preached. Never healed anybody. Do you know what he did? He encouraged. He encouraged. The power of encouragement. Paul says, man, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 20, therefore, I am all more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be able to be glad and I may have less anxiety. Verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Paul was saying, hey, this guy hasn't failed. He got sick, almost died. I'm sending you back not because he almost failed, but because he succeeded. He says, honor men like him. Like who? Encouragers, faithful people, honor them. Honor people that have been faithful. Honor people that serve. Hey, I would encourage you, maybe this week you need to look around your life and say, who are the people behind the scenes that are serving that you barely notice? How about at the next restaurant that you go to that you've been going through years and always rave about their food and you tell the manager, but the real guy, hey, the manager's not cooking the food. It's that guy in the back sweating. He's cooking the food. Maybe you need to look around Sunday school sometime and next time, the lady that hands your child to you, that you've seen her there Sunday after Sunday, you need to say, hey, have I told you recently, thank you for taking such a good care of my kid? And maybe next time you come in the parking lot and some guy that you've seen over and over, don't even know his name, but he's ushered you into your parking space, maybe you need to stop and say, hey, have I told you thank you for being out here in the cold and the rain and the snow and just parking cars, because it really blesses me that you do this so faithfully. How about it? Maybe we need to start looking around and say, who are we going to encourage?
This was Pastor Mark Jobe with the second half of his message called The Difference Between People Who Energize and Drain, which is from our current series called Joy is a Choice. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.